You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jessica Hopkins, toku ingoa, no mai, haere mai, ki te Wire, mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Rapa Wednesday. I'm your host, Jessica, and I'll be with you for the next hour. I'm also joined by producer Troy. Ifai Akine coming up on the show for our weekly catch-up. I speak to the ACT Party's Karen Chua about the government's initial cyclone emergency support and also calls from Auckland Pride to make transgender healthcare more accessible. I speak to Sephora from Fridays for Future Tāmaki Makaurau about a youth-led global climate strike happening on March 3rd and Maggie from Renews all about her new docuseries Dating While Asian. We'll be joined in the studio by Maggie and one of the subjects of the docuseries, Eleanor, at the end of the show. Hea hau whakaro, I would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces today, so tuku patuhi mai. Get in touch, text me on 5395 or wire my rane. Give us a call in the studio on 309-3879. Ka oe e wariwari I a hei ana koutou te whakarongo ki ēne kōrero. Ano he pakihiri roki roki mā runga I te pai tuku tuku o Erirangi Pōho, me haere ki 95BFM, ilakati.com. Catch all these stories and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
Aotearoa is currently dealing with the devastating impacts of two consecutive extreme weather events, flooding followed by Cyclone Gabrielle. This week, I asked Karen about the government's initial cyclone emergency response, which includes funding for people, businesses and councils affected by Cyclone Gabrielle, emergency repairs to get essential transport networks operating, and appointing lead cyclone recovery ministers for affected areas, and Grant Robertson as the new cyclone recovery minister. I then asked Chua about Auckland Pride's calls for gender-affirming healthcare to be more accessible for irawhiti and trans people. Here is that interview. So what do you think about the government's response to the cyclone so far?
Oh, look, I mean, this is an event that I'm sure none of us were expecting, even up until a couple of hours before it hit these areas. I think we realise now how vulnerable we are when these sorts of things happen, and our connectivity to the outside world can be cut off so easily. And I feel that as part of the recovery process, that this is something that we need to concentrate on, making sure that people have their connectivity back and are able to express the needs of their community to the government and have that face-to-face kind of talk with the government about exactly what their community needs. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Grant Robertson becoming a minister specifically for that issue.
You've been involved with some communities affected by Cyclone Gabrielle. What are they wanting to see from the government to help them get back on their feet?
Oh, look, I've got family in that affected area, and there's a whole lot of issues going on, whether it be from having access to the outside world by road, or even just by internet or telephone. So I think those are the first things that we need to concentrate on. Have people been able to have access to the basics at least, which means being able to find places to get food and the resources they need to survive for the next couple of weeks while things are being decided and where we go forward from there. I think part of the recovery process is really having a re-look at how we are going to rebuild and how we're going to do that quickly and efficiently. And we really need to look at our immigration process in this area. We may need to create a recovery visa, which would allow persons from a visa waiver country who can already come here on a work visa or a holiday for 3 months, allowing them to just come in and work for 6 months in this recovery area if they have the specialised skills, and making sure that we can process these visas quickly so we can get up and running and rebuilding these cities.
The Climate Change Minister, James Shaw, has said that these extreme weather events are the consequence of our lack of action surrounding climate change. What do you think about this assertion?
Look, I think we do have to be aware of climate change, and we have to be aware that these weather events are going to happen. But we also have to be aware that we need to be a nation that can afford to go forward with policies that are good for the environment, but also good for the country. And so it's finding that middle ground where we're not creating policies that make our country less wealthy, so we can't afford to do the things that need to be done.
Shaw has said that there's a need for bipartisanship on this issue and on potential climate adaption legislation that all parties can agree on. So is this something that ACT would be willing to negotiate on, and how would your party want to help people adapt to the impacts of the climate crisis?
Yeah, look, ACT is always willing to listen to alternatives that are brought to the table, and we look forward to hearing the ideas that come forward from all parties in this area, and we're always willing to sit down and have a discussion and a conversation. Depending on what's brought forward is depending on how we'd react to that, but we're always willing to sit down and have those conversations.
There's been some discussion happening with a Nationalist MP about whether climate change has been caused or been accelerated by humans. Is this something that ACT recognises?
Yeah, I mean, we do recognise that things are changing, and that we have to be aware that stuff like this is going to happen, and be ready for it and ready to recover from it.
And so what do you think that the government or any incoming government can learn from our response to the recent cyclone and flooding?
Hey, look, there's a lot of devastation going on out there at the moment, and we haven't heard it all. I mean, it comes from areas where full towns have been completely devastated to some places it's just pockets. And until we get a better understanding of where the damage is and how bad it is, and actually hear from the ground, we can't really preempt that discussion. But there is a lot we can do to make communities feel safer in situations like this. We found the same happened in Christchurch when it came to people feeling safe in an environment where there is no power and no connectivity, and when things go wrong around crime and intimidation, that people are feeling safe. And I think that's an area that we need to do better in.
The next topic I wanted to mention was some recent rallies and calls to action that have been happening during Pride Month, but I wanted to particularly focus on the trans rights rally because they had some quite specific calls to action. So this Auckland Pride and their supporters are calling on the government to make gender-affirming healthcare more accessible. Is this issue something that the ACT Party plans to engage with this election year?
Yeah, so I mean, I understand the frustration in that area, and a lot of it is to do with not having the resources available to actually provide those services. And this has been an issue for quite a long time. We can chuck more money into gender-affirming surgeries and areas like that, but unless we have the skilled surgeons in that area to actually perform these surgeries, they're not going to happen. And so, I mean, it falls under the whole aspect of our healthcare system at the moment. We have people on waiting lists for all kinds of different reasons that are waiting way longer than they should for surgeries and for health care needs that really should be dealt with a lot faster. And I understand that it can be quite traumatic knowing that you're getting referred for a lot of these services and it's taking a long time to be seen. So I do sympathise with that, and I do think we need to do better. And part of that is, again, down to immigration, allowing skilled workers to come into this country so that we have the resources to be able to provide those services to the trans community.
So would ACT then prioritise ensuring that there are enough resources in our healthcare system to be able to make these surgeries more accessible?
Well, it's the healthcare system overall. So I had a look into this when it was brought to my attention, and I saw at one stage that some of the surgeries weren't even able to happen because we only had one surgeon in New Zealand that was capable of doing the surgery, and they retired. And so that surgery had to be done overseas, and we were sending people overseas to get the surgery done, which then makes the risk higher and the complications higher for these people. So it's about searching all those skill sets and encouraging those people with the skills to come to New Zealand and be able to have those surgeries here. And we have that in many different areas of the healthcare system, and the trans community is one of them. And I do feel if we deal with the healthcare system overall in the same way, that the trans community will benefit.
Another call from advocates is that they want to lower the age required to legally change one's own name to 16. Is this something that the ACT Party would support?
Sorry, could you just repeat that for me?
No worries. So another call to action that they've asked for is to lower the age legally required to change your name, your legally recognised name, down to 16. Currently that's 18. Is this something that the ACT Party would support?
Oh, look, this is something that I haven't actually had a discussion with my party about. It's an interesting concept, and I will take that forward and see what my party has to say around that. Like I said, we're always willing to have these discussions, and that is something that I think it would be good to take back to my caucus and have a chat about.
And Auckland Pride has wanted to raise awareness about transphobia in Aotearoa. Is this something that the ACT Party sees as an issue?
Look, I'm fortunate enough to not have witnessed this kind of thing occurring, and I'm not saying it doesn't occur. And it saddens me to think that it is happening. I think we need to be a lot more careful with how we treat each other in this country. And if that is happening, I'm very disappointed and I'm saddened by that. And I think people have a right to be who they want to be. And that I completely condemn anybody that is behaving in that way.
So what then would your party propose to address this issue that they've raised?
You know, people need to stand up in our communities as well and take some responsibility when we witness things like this happening and we see it happening around us. We need to stand beside each other and look out for each other and let people know that that's just unacceptable and that that's not the way that everybody thinks and it's not the correct way to behave and act.
Trans advocates have called these healthcare measures like gender-affirming surgeries, as well as funding trans medication, as being life-saving. Do you think that it's acceptable that currently not everyone that needs these measures are able to access them?
Yeah, so I find that I had a real good look at this because I was just wondering how big this issue actually was. And it comes down to resources and having enough people within the industry to be able to do this. And I understand for some people this can be real life-changing and life-saving. And I will not play that down because, I mean, there'd be nothing worse than feeling like you can't be who you need to be. So I had a look at the waiting list and they're right. It is a long time to wait. And the The waiting list has gone up 77%. The referrals for this kind of care has gone up 77% in the last 2 years, but the amount of surgeries is not really changing. Only about 10 are happening a year. And so, again, it comes down to bringing in the people into this country and encouraging the skilled workers to come here and perform these surgeries here. And that comes down to our skilled immigration.
And just lastly, would ACT support removing the cosmetic label on surgeries like breast augmentation and facial feminization surgery for trans people?
Yeah, so that's another one that I really struggle to comment on that because I don't really have enough knowledge in that area. This is outside kind of my specialty. Don't have enough knowledge to really comment on that issue there. I have heard this is an issue in other areas as well, and this may be something that the health sector needs to look into.
That was the ACT Party's Karen Chaw speaking about the government's initial response to Cyclone Gabrielle and Auckland Pride's calls for gender-affirming healthcare to be more accessible for irawhiti and trans people.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chaw.
And we'll be right back after a quick break. Keep it on the beat.
What's a seven-letter word for Street Fighter?
No idea. I know that tonight at Ponsonby Social Club there's
Batiko Beats with Juliana Sion, Amanda Bovo and guests with support from Bobby Brazuka.
And tomorrow
Corey and Friends, Ponsonby's premier comedy night followed by Alicia and Momo.
Same old Ponsonby Social Club, 152 Ponsonby Road.
MOTAT are teaming up with Auckland Zoo for a double dose of after-hours action, aviation and zoo lates. Over at MOTAT, enjoy an evening with Gene Rivers of Māori Hi-Fi, spinning tracks, food trucks, bedtime stories with Rainbow Rascals, and tours of MOTAT's award-winning aviation hall and aircraft. Catch the free tram to the zoo lates for a walk on the wild side. Aviation Lates, Thursday, February 23rd from 4 p.m. Find out more at motat.nz.
15 years old, eh? I remember when you were just knee-high to a nut bush. True, yeah, absolutely. You're doing much to celebrate? Same old, eh? The whole month? You're a real friend, Ponsonby Social Club. Stay fresh, yeah?
The same old Ponsonby Social Club is celebrating 15 years of being the most iconic bar on the strip with a month-long lineup of absolutely stellar music. Ponsonby Social Club's 15th birthday, all through March. Check out the full lineup at ponsonby.social.
Oh, what a day. I love e-scootering. The great outdoors, Richmond Road.
Oh, I've been loving that new Drill Wave Crew synthesis with a C.
Well, we're signed up to My Music Bag. It's so flex. Whatever you're into, they send the same but different stuff in ready-to-bang portions.
Isn't that kind of cheating? I mean, I'm old school. Suggested YouTube videos, Shazam stuff off Netflix. And don't you have all those leftover bass lines?
Obviously, I donate the bass lines here at Vinny's.
The swap meet. Old collector guys bring you disco, boogie, funk, and soul to get you cooking. The Swap Meet with Jubden Kirk. Sundays 4 till 7 on 95 BFM.
Oi, don't leave your bass lines lying around here.
Welcome back to The Wire. Text in your thoughts on any of our pieces today. Let us know what you think. The number is 5395.
And it is odd for somebody to pay you $100 for a photo of your feet. That is not normal behaviour.
The Wire.
Fridays for Future Tāmaki Makaurau have teamed up with School Strike for Climate and other Fridays for Future groups across Aotearoa to demand climate action globally. I spoke to Sephora from Fridays for Future Tāmaki Makaurau about their kaupapa. To start off the interview, I asked Sephora about the Fridays for Future movement and how it started.
Fridays for Future is an intergenerational strike group that is founded by Greta Thunberg when she started striking in for school on Fridays. And so, yeah, we have that name, Fridays for Future, as well, and we're trying to get different activations happening to raise awareness for climate. So we do protests, but we also do art and crafts and conversations. So we're just trying to really bring more of that climate rhetoric into the public discourse.
There's a global climate strike happening on March 3rd. Can you tell us a little bit about this kaupapa and your involvement in it?
The March 3rd global climate strike has got hundreds of cities all across the globe striking. Here in Aotearoa, we have 11 cities striking. Here in Aotearoa as well, we've got five kind of core demands that we're striking for. And these are things we really want the government to bring into action in the first 100 days of the new government. And those are no more fossil fuels, lowering the voting age to 16, more ocean protection, supporting farmers to move to regenerative farming, and e-bike rebates. And all of those demands are basically levers that we think that if the government can't get behind that, then they're not taking the climate emergency seriously.
I want to touch on lowering the voting age. So could you tell us a bit about how that connects with climate change?
Yeah, so as we've seen, especially up here in Tāmaki Makaurau, the absolutely tragic voter turnout, I think it was the lowest voter turnout we've ever had for the local elections. And young people aren't engaged in politics because they don't see themselves represented in politics. And politics is how we get the law and policy that manages the industry polluters. So when we only have people like, you know, of that boomer generation voting, then that's not really representing our nation. So we really need people to feel like they're invited into that, and that conversation is happening at an earlier age, and people are getting educated about how democracy works in Aotearoa so that we can engage in it.
Yesterday you might have seen there was a Nationalist MP, Maureen Pugh, who was refusing to acknowledge that humans have affected climate change until after consulting with her party, where she then backtracked on that. But she said that she was waiting to see the evidence that humans had affected climate change. So how do you feel, I guess, about MPs having these attitudes or not being formed about climate change?
Well, it makes me want to laugh, but only because it's really frustrating and painful to hear that. The word climate means the environment something's operating in. And to say that we're operating in the same environment that those people were raised in is ridiculous. We can even see just basic stuff like water health. When that Maureen lady was a kid, she would have been able to swim in rivers that would have been deemed drinkable. Now those same rivers, we aren't even allowed to touch those. So how can you say humans aren't causing climate change? There's so much evidence around. And it makes me laugh, but only because it upsets me so much that there's still people that we need to convince this is a real fucking thing. Real friggin' thing.
And particularly for Aotearoa, why is it even more important, in your opinion, that we demand climate action now?
I think Aotearoa is actually a global leader. Like, although our emissions profile is really small in terms of the global sense, you know, we are used as a like a testing ground for a lot of things. A lot of countries look to us. We have a lot of positive relationships with heaps of different nations across the globe. If we can't do it here in Aotearoa, how are other countries going to feel like they can do it? But the thing is I think Aotearoa really does have the chops to pull off some substantial climate action. And so I'm super looking forward to seeing what the next government is going to offer us.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing for this strike in Tāmaki Makaurau and how people can get involved?
So we're going to be gathering at 3 o'clock outside Britomart Station in Te Komititanga Place. And then we're going to be marching down Fanshawe Street through to Vic Park, stopping at a few of our top industry polluters along the way, BP, Fonterra and Air New Zealand, just to have a little rally outside and let them know we're here watching them and they need to be taking action on climate. After we get down to Vic Park, we're going to have some live music and DJs for a couple of hours after. So even if you can't make the 3 o'clock strike, come on down and enjoy some of the community. And we're kind of trying to have more of a festival energy, and we're all coming together because we love the earth and we know that there's a better world possible for us. So we're just going to be singing and dancing and really demanding that people start enabling us to live that life.
And that was Sephora from Fridays for Future, Tāmaki Makaurau, talking all about the global climate strike event happening in Auckland next Friday, March 3rd. And we'll be back right after this short break.
Magic is afoot at Rangihaua Estate for the ninth installment of Flamingo Pier Waiheke.
A three-day subtropical groove out featuring Harvey Sutherland, Mildlife, Lady Hawk, Frank Booker, Mara TK, Julian Dine, Nice Girl, Nathan Haynes and loads more.
95BFM presents Flamingo Pier Waiheke, March 3rd to the 5th at Rangihaua Estate. For tickets and the full lineup, go to flamingopier.net.
Explore is kicking off this weekend. Roads are open, the forecast is mint, and the lineup is unbeatable. Over 100 performers across five zones featuring the likes of Future Islands and K Tempest. If you missed out, there's still a chance to get tickets to Aotearoa's best beachside festival. Just head to Splore's official resale website. Go to tixel.co.nz and get your tickets today. That's TIXEL.co.nz.
Hi, Mum. Yeah, happy birthday for the other week. Yeah, I'm fine. Just calling to let you know I'm going to be performing live on BFM. Yeah, with my band. No, my new band. Yeah, I have got a real job. That doesn't mean I can't still... Journalist is a real job. No, Mum, BFM. It's not just for students. It's like cool, alternative. Yeah, well, I hate you too. See you never, Mum.
Every Friday, live music direct from 95BFM Drive. Friday Live on 95BFM. Thanks to Parrot Dog Bear.
I don't know how to say this. Betelgeuse star?
You're not a child of the 80s. If you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Betelgeuse.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. We are now joined in the studio by Maggie Shui and Eleanor to talk about Re News' new docu-series, Dating While Asian. Across its 5, 6 to 8 minute episodes, Dating While Asian tells stories from the love lives of Pan-Asian New Zealanders with the help of animation. Welcome to the show.
Kia ora. Thank you for having us.
Hi. So Maggie, can you tell us about this docu-series you have directed, Dating While Asian?
Yes, so yeah, like you said, it's a 5-part documentary series where Pan-Asian New Zealanders share stories from their love lives, and they're also sharing their dating diaries. Each of the people in the series for about a month recorded diaries of their dating lives, and so in each episode we also delve into a few excerpts from their diaries, and those are brought to life through animation. And across the 5 episodes, we cover a range of things, breakups, situationships, really bad hookups. And some episodes really delve into how being Asian can be wrapped up in, how being Asian can filter into our romantic lives. But then some parts of the series are really just stories about dating from people who happen to be Asian. And you know, that's enough to say it's about dating while Asian in itself.
So what inspired you to produce the series and create this avenue for people to share their stories?
I think I, for a long time, had been thinking that I myself was quite hungry for depictions of the inner lives of Asian people and our romantic and sexual selves in kind of a nuanced, honest way, and from Asians themselves. Definitely, like in the past, depictions of Asians can be a bit either like fetishizing, or they asexualize or desexualize us, and then that can filter into how people in society think. And I think the way to combat that is really to have more rounded, fuller depictions of the inner lives of Asian people, and then you know, you're less likely to want to dehumanize us, basically. But also just dating in general is like such a great topic to delve into, and I think especially like in your late teens, early 20s, it occupies such a huge part of your brain and your life. And for anybody, Asians or not, there's just like, yeah, a wealth of stories to dig into there. And through Dating While Asian, you know, like people share the moments that they're lonely or seeking validation or, you know, feeling anxious, and those are all feelings that everybody can really relate to. So it's nice when some people are brave enough, like Eleanor, to share those aspects of themselves and really help other people feel seen.
So, Eleanor, you feature on episode 5 of Dating While Asian. Can you tell us a little about your episode of the show?
Yeah, just like discovering my sexuality as a lesbian and like kind of how that intersects with like the like heteronormativity of being like an Asian girl. There's like a lot of pressure to like, it feels very tied. It felt previously tied to my ethnicity, like being liked by men and liking men. So like being able to like separate the two and like be comfortable in my ethnicity, but not like my hand was like forced by like Asian fetishization and stuff, and like just sort of being like desperate for like guys to like me and feeling like I need to like guys, I need to be with a man to be like the perfect Asian girl. So yeah, it's been like a really awesome journey. And like, yeah, I just feel like way more comfortable as an Asian woman and as a lesbian.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. So the docuseries touches on some pretty vulnerable topics. What made you want to be a part of this series and share your experiences dating as a queer and Asian woman?
Yeah, well, when Maggie first like reached out and was like, yo, you sound really awesome, like, do you want to be a part? I definitely like thought about it. I like talked to my friends and my loved ones and like my mom, and I was like, you know, it was like, it's really interesting because it's like, I was like real deep in the closet previously, and now it feels like I've gone from like 0 to 100. Like now anyone can find this and be like, oh yeah, Eleanor's just like gay as hell, you know? So, which is pretty cool. And like, yeah, I have no regrets and I'm really like happy about it. And it feels like I'm really like being my most like authentic self. And like, yeah, I was like, why not? Like, this is the sort of thing I would have wanted to see when I was like real confused and I was questioning stuff. It's just like, I can't really think of any other like depictions of like queer Asian woman spoken on like our own terms and like produced by such like a great team who just like really cared about our stories. And like, yeah, it just felt great to like really be able to like tell my own story on my own terms and like know that like it could help at least one person who's feeling the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that what you hope people will take from your story, is sort of like, it's a story that people can relate to if they do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to be Asian, you don't have to be gay, but like, I think, yeah, I've like sort of received like messages from people. Like, I know some people like I don't super like really know, but it's like, it's been just like, I think even just like being able to just like be your authentic self, whether or not that has to do with being gay, you know, if it is, awesome, go be gay, it's cool. But yeah, no, I hope some gay people watch it, that'll be cool. hope some Asian people watch it, that'd also be cool. Anyone else, also cool. But yeah, no, and just anyone can watch it and take at least one thing from it, that'll be cool.
So where can people watch the show?
So you can watch it on renews.co.nz. You can watch it on the Renews YouTube channel, which is also Renews NZ, on TVZ Plus, and on our Instagram at Renews NZ. Lots of places.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
That was The Wire.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, ne te mihi ki a koutou katoa I kōrero mai ki o mō tēnei rā. That's a wrap on the Wednesday Wire. Thanks to everyone who spoke with us today. The Axe Party's Karen Chua, Sephora from Fridays for Future, Tamaki Makoto, and Maggie Shui and Eleanor from the Dating While Asian docuseries. Ni ra hoki te mihi ki a koutou I whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to 95 BFM. Next up is the 1 to 4 with Bridge.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.